new year. I'm sure that we all have some goals, some resolutions. I'm sure we're all evaluating where we are and where we're going. I chose a quote to put on our slides this morning. I don't know if you've caught it yet, but I thought it was pretty applicable for the date in which we live. It says, as you set goals for the new year, be content with what you have, but not with what you are. Be content with what you have, but not with what you are. You say, what do you mean by that? We ought to strive to be a better Christian this year, a better soul winner this year, and more separated this year, and to love people more this year. But be content with the things that we have. Today, I'm going to ask you a simple question today. I'm going to ask you what class you're in. What class you're in. I'm not talking about school. I mean class. Like, a social class has always been a reality. If you go all the way back, you had kings and merchants and slaves. Over in India, they set up their own class system with the Brahmins and the wealthy and the workers and the poor. Under the feudal system, for years, there was kings and nobles and peasants. And we, today in America, has three classes. They refer to them as the upper class, the middle class, and then poverty. But all of these are absolutely of no importance, because in the end, all that matters is what class you are according to God. Because God says there's two classes of people. And everyone in this room is in one of those classes. In Luke chapter number 19, if you're able to, let's stand as you read the scriptures. It says in verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. I'm going to pause there and tell you there's more going on to the story than right there, just there. Again, I've preached on this before. But the Lord, again, we're getting to our text in just a second. But he said, I must abide at your house today. And the reason why I study the scriptures is so interesting. Because when Jesus was entering into Jericho, there was a blind man there who heard he was entering. This blind man asked who that was. They told him it was Jesus. Now, when you study your Bible, this blind man is healed as Jesus leaves Jericho. He enters in from one side, exits the city on the other side. What's going on? There's this blind man making his way on the outside of the city all the way to the other exit. And the Lord wanted to save him. So he had to spend the day in Jericho, not only to win Zacchaeus, but because he had an appointment with another man on the other side of town. Aren't you glad the Lord loves sinners? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he has gone to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, half the, my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said to him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Verse 10, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. To seek and to save that which was lost. In the Lord's viewpoint, there are two classes of people. There are those who are lost and those who are saved. Everyone on this planet is in one of those two classes. You're either lost or you're saved. Before we enter 2019, I want every one of us this morning to carefully consider which class that we're in. If you're saved, live for the Lord this year. If you're lost, change that this morning. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you take this preaching, your word, and I pray that you lift up your Son today and draw men to you. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today lost, and Lord, I expect that there is, because I know you laid this message on my heart. You want me to preach it this morning. Well, Lord, someone will listen to this message that needs to. Lord, I pray for the lost today that they would be saved. I pray pray you just put a hedge about us this morning. Grab our hearts. Father, I pray that, Lord, you challenge us who are saved, that, Lord, we'd live for you this year and have a burden for the lost. Lord, I love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. While you're being seated, I remind you of John chapter number 3 and in verse number 36. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." According to that passage of Scripture, there are those who believe on the Lord Jesus, and they have everlasting life. There are those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus, and the wrath of God abides on them. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 12 and 13 says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God." You see, once again, the Bible tells us there are those who are lost and those who are saved. No one in this auditorium is somewhere in between. You're either lost or you're saved. I'm thankful today to tell you that Jesus Christ, the reason he came, was to seek and to save those who are lost. Everyone who is lost, Christ died for their sins, which means he died for the sins of the whole world. When Jesus preached many times, he told us that there were, in some cases, two roads, a broad road and a narrow road. He taught us in other places there were two crowds. He taught us in other places you can't serve two masters. There are two destinies people are heading towards. We live today in a non-absolute world. What I mean by that, not that that's true, but that's what people want to believe. That there's no such thing as an absolute. People are told to be broad-minded and to accept everything. And what that's done, that's left a lot of people in a lot of confusion. Because you're not allowed to say this is absolutely right or that's absolutely wrong. Well, I may not have that authority, but God does have that authority. And if his word says something is absolutely right, then it's right. And if his word says something's absolutely wrong, then it's wrong. And the Bible says that there are those who are saved and there are those who are lost. And it all comes down to this: what have you done with Jesus Christ? Now, I want to read a few verses, and I want you to look at these with me, or if you don't have your Bible, to listen real close. Look at these with me real quick. John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. And just again, I want the Word of God to speak to us this morning. In John chapter number 3 and in verse number 16, I used this verse this morning on my bus. I was given the lesson this morning, and today is Brother Coy Webster's birthday. Is he in here today? See you next door. He's next door, and he's working in Junior Church, right? So make sure you see him. Congratulate him. Turned 18 today. Fine young man. And I told our bus, we sang happy birthday to him. And then I said, today's his birthday. I said, I told the bus this. I said, but kids, one birthday's not enough. There has to be a second time you were born again. And we talked about that. And I told him about Nicodemus. And this passage of Scripture is all about Nicodemus. And in Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, we see these words in John chapter 3, verse number 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Aren't you thankful for that? Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." My friends, it is not God's will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. God wants every man to be saved. When Christ died on the cross, he died so that everyone could be saved. Turn over to the right to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy in chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. If you get to Hebrews, went a little too far. But in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and in verse number 15. 1 Timothy 1 and in verse number 15. Again, I just want to see some scriptures. Then we'll look at our message quickly this morning. 1 Timothy 1, verse number 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The reason Christ came was to save sinners. And I'm thankful for that because I'm one of those sinners and so are you. He came to save sinners. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, look at verse number 3. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved." Sorry, Calvinism. "Who will have all men to be saved." Amen. "And to come into the knowledge of the truth. But there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." I'm thankful Christ Jesus came for all of us. In Acts chapter number 4, go back to the left a little bit. In Acts chapter number 4 and in verse number 12. Acts 4 and verse number 12 says this. It's a great word of testimony here about salvation. The disciples are speaking. It says this in Acts chapter 4 and in verse number 12. It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, how did that happen? A few pages to the right in Romans chapter number 5. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse number 8. Then we'll go to one more passage. Romans chapter number 5 and in verse number 8. Says this. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." God loved us so much, he sent his son to die for us. And God loved us not after we were saved, he loved us before we were saved. He loved us when we were sinners and Christ died for us. In Ephesians chapter number 2, one last verse, turn to the right. Ephesians chapter number 2 and in verse number 8, very familiar passage of Scripture. Ephesians 2 and verse number 8 says this. "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." My friends, you're either lost or you're saved. If you're saved, it's not based on who we are, but on what Jesus has done for us. If you're saved, there is a time in your life where you, just as verse 8 says, by the grace of God, through faith, you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. With a heart of repentance, look to Jesus and said, "I cannot do it on my own, but I believe Jesus died for me." And we receive that gift of eternal life. Now, I'm not preaching today to get anyone to doubt. The devil does a good job at that. Everybody doubts. Abraham doubted. Thomas doubted. Peter doubted. John the Baptist doubted. I've doubted. You've doubted. Everyone doubts. John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, outside the Bible, one of the greatest works ever written, he wrote all about Christian and his path to the celestial city, how at one time he was imprisoned in Doubting Castle by the giant of despair. There's an old Baptist preacher who said this: doubt is to your spirit what pain is to your body. Pain is a warning. It's a signal that something's not right, but it doesn't mean you're dead. Amen. We all have these times. Doubt is uncertainty. Everyone will go through that. But a lost person is in unbelief. Unbelief is denial. Let me ask you a question today. Are you lost or are you saved? So what do I have to do to be lost? Nothing. Nothing. Romans chapter number 3, verse number 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Every one of us, we were born sinners. Every one of us, that's what we are. We did not sin and become a sinner. We sin because we are sinners. That's what we are. That's what we do. We are sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. According to Colossians chapter number 1, we were alienated from God. Because of our sin, we were in this lost condition. You understand that God is our creator. Amen. God created. All things were created by Him and for Him. Everything was created, but our sin caused us to be alienated from God. Because we are sinners, we're lost. Matter of fact, Colossians 1:21 goes on to say, not only just alienated from God, but we are enemies of God. We read John chapter 3 and verse number 16. If we're not saved, we're going to perish. That shows our condition. See, what is it to be lost? Not going where you should be going. Where should I be going? To heaven. God wants every man to go to heaven. God wants all of mankind to go to heaven. Heaven was prepared with enough room for everyone who has ever been. But people choose to deny Christ, and they're lost. And all those who have died without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ have done just what Jesus said would happen. They've perished. And what I'm preaching on is an important message, because you say, well, preacher, I'm saved, I'm okay. Well, praise the Lord for that. But there are people all around us that are not. They're not. And we ought to have a burden for them. May we get a burden as we enter this new year for lost souls. Luke chapter number 15 is called the lost and found chapter. And I love that chapter because it gives us an idea. Again, Jesus, I believe, is teaching on salvation. And he talks about the lost sheep, that lost coin, and then that lost son. You remember Luke chapter number 15? That's when that one sheep had gotten lost, and he leaves the 99 and goes and finds the one and brings it back. And aren't you thankful that's the way the Lord is for us? The lost coin. The woman swept the house and looked for the coin. She searched everywhere to find that coin. I'm thankful the Lord never gave up on us. That lost son, the prodigal son. See, why would the Lord give us these illustrations? Because, I may catch this, that sheep was foolishly lost. And everybody look at me. That sheep was lost but did not know how to get back. And there are many people who are lost today who are just foolishly lost. They're lost in their sin and they do not know how to get to heaven. The coin was carelessly lost. It was misplaced. It was carelessly lost. And a coin, because it's a coin, not trying to be weird here, but a coin was lost and didn't know it. I mean, a coin didn't know it was lost. It's a coin. You'll get that later, right? It's a coin. And there's lots of people that live out there that are lost. They don't even realize it. They're just living their life lost. Now the son was willfully lost. The son was lost and knew how to get back. But the fact is, all three were lost. Whether you're like the sheep today and you're lost and you don't know how to get to heaven, well, you're going to hear today how to, praise the Lord. Maybe you're like the coin and you're lost and you didn't realize you were lost, but may today your eyes be open that you are. Or maybe you're like the son and you know you're lost. And you've heard salvation's message over and over. You know where the Father is. But you need to be like that son and make the choice to go to the Father today. All were lost. And all those who were lost have a destiny. Now that can be changed, praise God, because Jesus came to save sinners. See, what is that destination? In Luke chapter number 20, verse number 13 and 15. Let's read that real quick. Revelation chapter number 20. Let me read this verse to you. Revelation 20, verse number 13. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I'm going to pause there. Jesus, back with Nicodemus, said you must be born again. All of us have been born the first time. If you don't understand that, I'll explain it to you later, right? We've all been born the first time. But have you been born the second time? have you been born again? You see, if you have two births, we only face one death. But if you only have one birth, there is a second death. That second death here is the lake of fire. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That sheep was lost. Why did it get lost? Why was it lost? It wandered away, thinking it knew a better way. Thinking it, boy, the grass is greener over there. Living for itself, living for what it could get out of life. And if you depart and you don't want nothing to do with the Lord, and you live for yourself, and you live for your own desires, and the grass looks greener over there, my friend, it will end in tragedy. It will end in despair. It will end as Jesus said it would. You will perish in a lake of fire. But God doesn't want you to. God doesn't want you to stay lost. He wants you to be saved today. Matter of fact, He left heaven to come and to seek you. Praise the Lord. God left heaven to seek me. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that He would leave the glory of heaven for a sinner like you and me. Maybe you're like that coin and you're lost. You don't realize you're lost. But what's a coin used for? To be spent. And some people think that's all life is. You're born, you live, you die. You just spend your life whatever you want to and get out of it. There's something far greater than this life. There is something far greater that is a life to come with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're like the Son. You know the Father. You know who He is. You know what He's done. You know the house He has prepared. But you've just said no. And you've run from Him. Trying to live your life how you want to. I have good news. The Father is still there. And He's still waiting for you to come. He never gives up. If you're lost, can I just be real blunt with you this morning, please? If you're lost, you have no conviction over your sin. If you're lost, you live in sin, you do sin, and you don't care. If you're lost today, you say, well, I'm going to heaven, but my sin don't bother me. Well, the Bible says you've deceived yourself. I love you enough to tell you the truth. If you think you can go on and keep on living for yourself and just indulging in your sin, and there is no conviction and no chastening from God, the Bible says you're not His child. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. I don't like saying it. I get no joy out of that because I know it probably will upset some. But that's what the Bible says. If you can go on living and you say, well, I don't care what you think. Let God be true and every man a liar. If you have no conviction over your sin and no chastening from God for your sin, and you have no desire in your life for God, and you have no fruit to show for God, and you have no desire to please a Savior, you say, you're judging people. God told me by their fruits you shall know them. And all I've done is told you what the Bible says. If you can keep looking at filth and living in filth and doing what you know the Bible says is wrong and no conviction and no chastening and no desire to please the Lord, you are lost. And I love you enough to tell you. You're lost. Now, we all can get a sear conscience. We all can get involved in things that we shouldn't be involved in. I agree. But there will be conviction. And there will be chastening. And there'll be a hurt. And there'll be a remorse. And there will be something God will do what he said he would do. I'm not saying maybe we did something last night we shouldn't have done. I'm talking about you're living in sin. We all mess up. You understand that. And just because you mess up, you can't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Amen? That's why the Lord said, they that come to me shall in no wise, he said, I will not no wise cast out. They that believe in him hath everlasting life. Amen. Shall not see death. I'm thankful for that. I'm not talking, you can't lose your salvation. What I'm talking about is this. A lot of times people will sit in church or go to some church or be told that they're okay. Or they have a grandma or grandpa that was saved and they think, well, I'm just okay too. We all must have a time in our life when we ask the Lord to forgive our sins and save us. I grew up in a great home. I grew up in a home where I was protected from sin, sheltered life, raised to read the Bible, study the Bible, love God, tithe, be faithful to church. That's the house I grew up in. Thank the Lord for it. But that did nothing for me in going to heaven. I could never go to heaven and say, yeah, my parents told me I was okay. They never did. But even if they would have, doesn't matter. I had to make a personal choice for me. And when I was 14, I asked the Lord to save me. Because I had to make that choice. Today, my sister Crystal, it's her 19th spiritual birthday today. She grew up in the same home, but she had to make a choice. She had to be saved. You have to make that choice. Say, well, I don't know if I want to deal with that. Then you're lost. Say, why would you say this to me? Because I love you. Because the Lord loves you. And he wants you to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you're saved. I hope you are. If you're saved today because you realize there was a time in your life when you did deserve hell. You realize the wages of my sin is death. And you heard the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for my sins. He suffered for my sins. He was placed in that tomb, but he rose again and showed himself victorious over death. You heard the truth. You are convicted of your sin. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you believe that Jesus died for you. Look over in John chapter number 5 real quick. John chapter number 5, and in verse number 24. John chapter 5, and in verse number 24. John 5, 24 says, verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Amen. And shall not come into condemnation. By the way, that's one verse. If that was the only verse, that'd be good enough. But there you go. You cannot lose your salvation. If there is any way to believe in Christ and get salvation and then lose it, this verse is not true. Right? But this word is true. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Before I was saved, I was lost. I only had one destiny, and that was death. But after I got saved, I was given life. God's word is true. He is the only way. Jesus said these words, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. You're the opposite. A saved person is the opposite of a lost person. There'll be conviction of sin. There'll be fruit. The love of Christ will constrain us. There'll be chastening over sin. We'll have a desire to please our God. There's two classes of people. There's those who are saved, those who are lost. I sat through a lot of church services in my first 14 years of life. I heard a lot of preaching in my first 14 years of life. And I know what it's like to sit through church and be lost. I know what it's like having never made that decision. But praise God, I also know what it's like to humble myself and to say, I just need to be saved. And I also know what it's like to know the joy of God's forgiveness. I also know what it's like to feel the pressure. Everyone thinks I'm saved. A lot of people did, me too. But I also know that no one was in any way upset that I got saved the day I got saved. The devil likes to deceive us and deter us. But I'm just asking you to be honest, whether you're first time here today, whether you've been sitting in these pews for 30 years or 30 minutes, are you lost or are you saved? If you are lost, God wants to save you today. Trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Yes, I am a sinner. God, forgive me. I believe Jesus died for my sins. Trust in him. Years ago, and you all know the story, when the Titanic left there from England and headed on its what we know to be a fateful trip. When it left, it had three classes of people on it. It was first class, second class, third class. You all know what happened to the Titanic. Hit the iceberg, it sank. In Liverpool, England, outside of the White Star office, there's a big board outside, and it had a sign that said this: known to be saved, known to be lost. They left with three classes of people, but in the end, there were those who were known to be saved, those who were known to be lost. Who cares about your social class today? No one does. God doesn't. Doesn't matter at all in eternity. But are you known to be saved? Are you known to be lost? We all are on one of those.